Brass and DC, the sideline sports show. Fort Wayne to the world. Bryce got the box score, calm on the mic. Pulling up numbers from last Friday night. Sack gyms packed, rivalries loud. He'll tell you who balled out, who hyped the crowd. DC slide in with the hold up weight. Spicy little rant, that's a hot take plate. Coach talk, Pacers talk, all in the mix. Midwest mind with that ESPN fix. Sideline Sports Show, Bryce in D.C. From the Fort Wayne courts to the big TV. Indiana Hoosiers dreams, go-to-go scenes. Whole Midwest running through the calling stream. Sideline Sports Show, you know that vibe. Stats and smoke in the four-quarter ride. Turn it up loud when the game day starts. They break it all down like they call in charge.
Welcome into the Sideline Sports Show with Bryce in D.C. D.C. over there. Head bopping to the intro music, and I'm surprised you're still awake because you've had a busy, busy week, my friend. And we'll get into all the details of the life of DC Hendricks this past week. And it's been a busy week, and it's been a busy weekend sports wise. Especially yesterday, we have at least three basketball games to talk about. Unfortunately, none of them. Our local teams or state teams were on the winning side, but we will talk about them in detail coming up here in just a moment. We are a part of the Get Indiana Network, and to make sure you get to getindiana.com. It is your destination for everything Indiana, from festival and event blog posts to spotlighting hidden gems and local businesses in small town in the Hoosier State. Discover something new about our beloved state, and be sure to subscribe to the weekly newsletter at the top of the page. You can also find our show weekly on there as well. And make sure you subscribe to our show everywhere you are at, YouTube, Facebook, X, Instagram. We are on those platforms, so make sure you subscribe to our show. And I need to pull up the tournament challenge standings. I haven't even been paying attention here in this past week, but before we dive into all that, DC, how are we feeling this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm bringing up, I was already on it. You were talking about the bracket challenge, bringing that up, and last week y'all was giving me a hard time, making fun of me, right? Just to give a quick update on the standings, just to, you know, all those people that were making fun of me last week for my bracket, because I was in last place, other than the person that didn't even fill out a bracket. Just giving an update.
Okay.
Here's where we're at. Number one is Yoder Dame Fighting Irish.
All right.
First place. Don't know who that is. Oh, Yoder Dame Fighting Amish. My bad.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think a little play on words. Two-way
ties. Picks is in second place. And Hunter Sossenheimer.
Yep. He's still number up there.
Three. Yeah, Tim, look at you falling down. Look at Tim. High for fifth. All that talking. And look at me. 700 points.
Yeah.
Tied for 11th. Not too far behind. Where are you, Bryce? Oh, you're tied now, too.
I'm tied for 11. I'm tied with Logan. I'm tied with you, so yeah. Yeah. But
you must have had Purdue losing.
I did have Purdue losing in my bracket. So it was kind of I don't know.
My boy Pluggo watching. Shout out my boy Pluggo. He's third.
Yeah.
If he wins, though, he's going to have to donate it to somebody because this is a Fort Wayne local restaurant gift.
Yeah.
My boy Pluggo, he's a South Bend guy. So we might have to get him to, if he ends up winning, we might have to get him to donate.
No, he can come to Fort Wayne and, you know, we'll treat him. You know, we'll give him a gift
card. There we go. I like that idea better.
Yeah, we'll all hang out and go to the maybe go to the restaurant together. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Let's go.
We'll figure it out. So yeah, that's an update on this tournament standings. If you are in this bracket challenge and you have not subscribed to the show yet, make sure you do so. Otherwise, you will not be eligible. And maybe we'll have like a little cutoff date for that. You know, the week after the tournament is over. We'll give people a week to make sure that they're subscribed. But if you are not subscribed and you are watching this or watching it back after The show is not live. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I was watching the game last night. It's because you brought up Purdue and the game with Arizona. Let's start there, because the game started out well for Purdue. They were 7 of 14 from three in the first half, shooting the lights out. Offense was flowing well with Braden Smith, and despite Trey Kaufman Wren being on the bench, and you had guys stepping up. Oscar Clough was stepping up. Jakari Harris was hitting threes, and everything seemed to be going well, and Purdue seemed to be in control of that game. Boy, how did things change very quickly in the second half? I don't know what the Arizona coach said at halftime, probably some expletives to get his team in gear, but the way that Arizona team performed in the second half and the way that Purdue performed in the second half was just a complete 180 from what we saw in the first half on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care what Arizona's coach said at half. I need to know what Painter said at the half, because Purdue came out in the second half completely uninspired. I don't know if he told them, we have this game in the bag.
Yeah.
This game's over. Already planning for the Final Four. Because they came out in the second half completely flat and just completely like, eh. You know? Now let's be honest here. You know, Arizona's the better team. Better team won. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna sit here as a Purdue fan and act like Arizona top to bottom isn't a better team than Purdue. Okay. I'm a realist at the end of the day. Sometimes you gotta put the fandom aside. The better team won. Arizona was the heavily favored team to win the game. But the way Purdue played in that first half, that team was not out there in the second half. I don't know if anybody's seen the movie Space Jam and is familiar with that. But if you're not, the plot of the movie is aliens wanting to pretty much take over, and they steal the talents of very, very talented NBA players in the middle of a game. In case you haven't seen the movie Space Jam. Maybe that happened to the Purdue Boilermakers in the locker room at halftime. Needed a little bit more of MJ's secret stuff, like they had in the Space Jam movie. All seriousness, though, they just came out. They came out in the second half uninspired. Arizona's like, look, we're still in this game. We cannot lose this team. We're heavily favored, and they just completely, you know, overplayed Purdue in the second half. And you know, it's the same story. You know, the second half, you know, Purdue blowing leads. It's been that story throughout the season. It's been what has frustrated me so much, this talented team that, you know, this talented group of seniors that we've got to watch these past few years. It's ongoing story. So, you know, what a way for Purdue to still end. You know, still a great group of seniors that I don't want people to forget. Still had a great run. You know, I know Purdue fans are going to be really upset about how things ended. And I am, you know, don't get me wrong, after leading after the first half, I was really, my expectations were very high for how the rest of the game went. Fletcher Lawyer needed a better game, but at the end of the day, this group of Purdue seniors, at the end of the day, 117 wins, Bryce. Yeah. Three Sweet 16s, two Elite Eights, one Final Four, two Big Ten titles, two Big Ten tournament titles. I mean, look, for this senior group to go out like that, I can't ask for anything better. From a group of seniors that have led this program, although they didn't get us to the Final Four and continue playing basketball. As a Purdue fan, this is what the Purdue basketball is all about. You know, coming to Purdue and staying at Purdue, their tenure, that's what it's about, you know. So still very excited for the future as well. Still able to reflect on the senior group here at Purdue. No reason to hang your heads. I mean, you lost to an Arizona team. Now, if you came out and lost in the first round, then yeah, it would be a disappointing ending. But for me, this isn't really a disappointing ending. That's why, like, I'm still happy as we started the show. You know, usually I'd be grumpy old DC, mad that Purdue lost. But Arizona's a tough team, and quite frankly, probably going to end up being the champion. They're just that dang good. So if they're going to lose to a team, I'm glad it was a team as talented as Arizona, who was stacked pretty much from top to bottom.
This Arizona team has at least three guys, I would say, that are going to play in the NBA, whereas Purdue probably has one, maybe two. I don't know. I don't really think Trey Kaufman-Wren, his game really doesn't translate to the NBA. He doesn't shoot like, you know, everybody does. Now, even Zach Edey was able to, you know, get a jumper off. I can't even remember the last time I've seen Trey Kaufman-Wren take a jump shot other than a push shot from the free throw line. I mean, that's like his signature shot, and it fell a couple of times last night, but it felt like he wasn't really in a rhythm. And I don't, maybe it's just the thought of your season coming to an end because the way that you're playing and you're not able to be out there as much, but because of your early foul trouble. But man, he just felt like he was a little bit chaotic last night, and he was, and it felt like it, coming down the stretch in some of these games, he has just been a little out of control for me. And it, I think I saw it in the Big Ten championship game as well against Michigan, is like, he's just playing a little reckless out there. And I felt like he was very close to getting a technical a couple of times with some of his emotions. And after it was in the second half where he was fouled and he wanted the continuation because he made the shot, and he was like stomping and yelling. And I was like, he might get a T right there. And I thought, I just felt like he was on the border of getting a technical all game. And I don't know if that's what you want out of your players who, and especially when the moment, it just feels like it was swallowing them up a little bit, and it was just kind of slipping away from them. Braden Smith had some turnovers. The decision-making in the second half wasn't great. You mentioned Fletcher didn't have a great shooting night, only made two threes, one in the first half and then one with 11 seconds to go. That was the only three that they made in the second half, was the one in the corner from Fletcher with 11 seconds to go. So it really – and it didn't matter. The team could not get clean looks in the second half. The defensive intensity from Arizona went up a notch in that game. And it was they weren't able – Arizona wasn't able to get into the paint as much in the first half. But then once they got into the paint with Cole Pete and Bradley
– they couldn't do nothing with Pete.
They couldn't. When you got the switch on to Oscar Clough, he can't guard him. He's not athletic enough. He can't stay in front of him. And it was just –
Cuffles pissing me. I ain't going to lie. Cuffles pissing me off last night. There are times during the season that he's done this, but he's just like – he's talented, but he is so soft. And last night he was just getting banged all around. He kept getting stuck out at the top of the key too on the pick and rolls, and Pete getting easy baskets. I remember they were talking about that. Stuff like that, man. Like you can't allow that to happen, especially a team like Arizona that's gonna torch you down there.
Yeah.
You know, it was just one of those nights, you know. That second half was I had to turn it off. I didn't even finish the game. Once Arizona went up 10 with I think it was like 5 minutes left or something like that. 6 minutes left. I was like, this is over. Like Purdue, you could already tell, like you mentioned a little bit ago, when Trey Kaufman-Wren was already getting frustrated and every call that didn't go his way, he's stomping and throwing a temper tantrum. And, you know, once that stuff started, I was like, this is over. These guys have already lost. They've already, you know, the emotions are running too high. They're too emotional right now. You got him, you got Braden Smith turning the ball over. I was like, this game's over. So I just ended up turning it off. Like I had I lost faith. I did.
Yeah.
And it was just too painful to watch. But it was stuff like that with Cuff getting stuck at the top of the key too much on those pick and rolls. That happened too often. And Pete was getting easy baskets down low. Stuff like that. You can't allow that to happen if you're going to beat a team like Arizona. But, you know, I'm not here to, you know, rag on Purdue, because quite honestly, Arizona, like I said, Arizona was the better team, man. They came out in that second half ready to play. They were like, look, this game ain't over. We're the better team, so we're going to come out, we're going to beat you, and we're going to move on. We're one of the heavily favorites in this tournament, and we're going to show the entire country why we're, you know, highly regarded as one of the favorites to win. So all hats off to Arizona, their coaching staff, their players for, you know, coming together in that second half, because it wasn't just Pete. It was collectively all five guys. They pretty much just played those five guys, those starters, the whole game. I think I don't even think anyone else played double-digit minutes in that game other than the five starters. So Purdue essentially got beat by five guys.
Yeah, he just had nobody else step up. You know, Cox, he really didn't do a whole lot. Jakari Harris played well in spurts, but he didn't really get anything else from. And when Fletcher's not able to get up shots, he's a liability out there, a defensive liability, and he's just out there. If he can't make shots or isn't shooting well or even able to get up shots, it's tough.
It's tough to win a game, too, with 10 turnovers. An Elite Eight game, when you're going against Elite Eight talent and your five starters collectively give you 10 turnovers, that's tough. That's tough to overcome. Three of those for from Braden Smith. You had two from the, you know, the other. You had Cuff had two. Trey Crawford-Marin had two. Fletcher Lawyer had two. Cox had one. So that's 10 turnovers. Count them, 10. By that starting lineup, you're not going to beat a team like Arizona turning the ball over. And most of that was in the second half. So you're not – it's just not going to happen. So I take my hat off, Arizona. That's a tough team, man. They were balling last night. I can't – as a Purdue fan, I'm like, I can't sit here and complain because they just completely outplayed Purdue and the better team won.
Yeah, I think that it was surprising to me because – Purdue had more offensive rebounds than Arizona did, but Arizona had more second chance points. So Purdue would get the offensive rebound, but then they just couldn't do anything with it. Whereas Arizona was able to, you know, take advantage of those offensive rebounds when they got them. And it was just a poor performance. And like you said, we've seen it before with this Purdue team in second halves where they would get big leads and then they would just absolutely collapse. And I thought that this team was kind of over it because of the way that they played in the Big Ten Championship and the way that they played in the first three rounds that, okay, this team has finally figured it out and they're not going to squander these leads at all. They're going to play more consistently. You're going to get shots from Fletcher. You're going to get shots from Cox. And you just weren't able to get that. And you weren't able to get other guys involved outside of Braden Smith, who did all of his scoring in the first 5 minutes of the game, where he hit a couple of threes and then a couple of other shots. But other than that, he didn't really score in the second half either. There was just no offensive, I don't know, they weren't in a rhythm. They weren't able to move the ball and get into their stuff like they were in the first half. And it just speaks to, like you said, Arizona and the way that they were able to defend in the second half. And Purdue, yes, a really great season and a great career for a lot of these seniors, but when you finish this way, it's very disappointing because you knew the game was over with like 7 minutes left, and you can't have that type of performance on this type of stage. And it feels like the way that their career is going to end petering out like this is unfortunate. Yes, it's in the Elite Eight, but man, the performance in the second half has got to sting.
Terrible way to go out, but again, a Purdue way to go out. Kind of like how you felt with the end of IU season. I feel the same way about Purdue. It's like, and like I named all the accolades earlier that the senior group has, you know, accomplished throughout their year. So, it's, like I said, no reason to hang their heads, but I will say this to the Purdue fan base, relax. Because, like, I seen some panic on social media last night about the future of Purdue because they're losing all these seniors. Have you not seen Luke Erdl at Mount Vernon? Have you not seen this dude?
Yeah, he just won a state title last night.
I mean, bro, have you not seen Luke Erdl coming into Purdue next year? He's going to be balling right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but, like, I am not panicking at all. I mean, dude had 17,000 points as a high school player. 19 points again in the state championship and beat a top ranked team. Like, I think we're going to be fine at Purdue. I think we're going to be good. And again, what I love about Purdue, no offense to you IU fans, because I know you guys don't have the luxury of this, but when guys come to Purdue, they stay at Purdue. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Luke Erdl should be here for the long haul. It's not like he's going to be a top five draft pick next year. So, I think we're going to be good, Purdue. I think we should all relax. And he's not the only one Purdue's getting. So, but after seeing him, his performance, not only this throughout this entire season, but in the state championship, once again, just proving that he's amongst, I mean, he's elite. I mean, he's Mr. Indiana basketball. Like, it's simple.
Yeah, he should be. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, he should is. Be. If anybody else wins, I might riot. I just might. Yeah. Like, that would be the biggest snub in history. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we had in the state finals here locally, we had two teams down there locally. So, well, let's touch on those before we get back to any lingering thoughts with Purdue and Arizona. So we had, you mentioned Luke Ertl, Mount Vernon, they beat Crown Point, which Crown Point frustrated a lot of people last night with holding the ball in a state championship game. Another example of why we need a shot clock here. So we don't need to go way too deep on that right now. But it just feels like if you do that in a state championship game, that's horrible. It's a terrible look. Let's start with Westview. They lost a heartbreaker to Park Heritage, and it was a valiant effort from Westview because they had to come back time and time again, getting down multiple possessions, getting down early in that game. They had to come back repeatedly. They didn't take their first lead until in the fourth quarter when they led 50-48. They ended up losing the game 57-56, but they had a shot to win the game at the buzzer. A shot from Austin Slaybaugh just fell off the rim. I saw multiple angles from multiple reporters on that shot, and it looked like the shot that you want, obviously, with your best player driving to the basket, still ends up with a bunch of points in the game. Scored 13 points. Caden Grau had 14, and the Yoders each had a bunch of points as well. So it's unfortunate, and I'm sure you saw the clips too, DC, that of the final shot, and it's just to lose that way just with is terrible, and especially in the couple possessions before that, you know, the previous possession where Caden Grau supposedly stepped out of bounds and because he was caught up on the sideline, then stopped. Yeah. You know, some people said that he
out of bounds. It didn't look to me like
some people said he didn't. Some people said that he did. And it was a turnover. Park Heritage ended up scoring on their next possession. And even Coach Chandler Pribble said after the game that, you know, he had timeouts to use. Probably should have used one. It was a mistake by him. He owned up to it. But still, to lose that way when you're in a battle and you come back and you have the chance to win the game is heartbreaking, especially when the shot looks that good.
Yeah, we're talking about a Westview team, Bryce, that before last night hadn't lost since December 1st. They haven't lost since 2025. Yeah. I'm still doing that joke. it's been a great run for them. I really thought that last night was going to be their night. I thought they were really going to cap it off with the one loss season, a state championship. But like you said, to come down that close after being down most of that game, able to come back and make it a game, even when – you know, I was really upset. I'm not going to lie. I was really pulling for Westview, especially because Coach almost came on last week. We talked to him a little bit before the show. They had a late game last weekend, and he still almost made it happen to come on last week. So when anybody is that, you know, open to coming on our show after a late night, I always give a little extra kudos. But this Westview team's been really fun to follow all year. You know, admittedly, we always – you know, follow more of the SAC and NE8 around here, but Westview's not very far either, and we still consider them a local team necessarily, you know, in our area. So I was really pulling for them, but again, like when you lose to a team like Park Heritage, who is another talented team, they lost a couple of times in December, and they lost to a couple tough teams this year as well, but Park Heritage is, you know, they got a coach in his eighth year that's won almost 200 games. So we're talking about a program that is pretty much sustained at this point. But Westview's going to be good for a little bit. They got some returning players that are coming back as well. So I'm still excited for what Westview could do next year. I think they're going to be a team that we can keep an eye on for the next couple of years. So no reason to hang your heads either if you're Westview. I think this could be a team we'll be talking about next year as well.
Yeah, I have no doubts about Westview. And even if they do – graduate some guys. The program is the program up there at Westview. It's a historically good basketball school. Consistently makes deep runs into the tournament.
Turn into a baseball school now too, though. Relax.
They are very good. Coach, you mentioned Coach Jason Ron up there. He's one of my favorites when I covered high school baseball. So he's a good. They have a lot of talented kids that can play multiple sports. They're always competitive, no matter the sport. But in basketball specifically, they always have a really high standard. And I think if, you know, Coach Pribble decides, you know, to stay there for the long haul, and I have no reason to doubt that why he wouldn't, but it just feels like he will eventually bring a state title back up to Westview because he's a really good coach. I covered him when he was an assistant at Central Noble under John Bodie, who's his father-in-law, and he's got a good head on his shoulders, very smart, very good coach. And I think that the system he runs and the program that they run, and I think that they're going to be good for quite a long time. But as you said, they just ran into another team that's on their same level, and were just able to edge them out. And they had a lot of size that maybe they hadn't seen along the way, that was difficult for them to handle, but they were still able to be very competitive in that game. And it just came down to a last shot that bounced on the rim four times and fell off, and just a little extra effort, and it probably would have gone in, but just unfortunate for Westview to be on the losing side, just because I think now it's the first time in a couple of years where we don't have a state champion. But it's unfortunate. We also had New Haven down there in the Class 3A game. They lost to Cathedral, who was the number three team in Class 3A, and another valiant effort by New Haven. They were in that game. They trailed early, able to battle back, similar to Westview. They would get down multiple possessions but come back and tie or take the lead. And it just – they even led early in the fourth quarter, New Haven did. And it was just experience for Cathedral that came through. And getting to the free throw line specifically, Cathedral shot 36 free throws in the game, and were 15 of 22 in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's where they won the game, was at the free throw line. And
the consensus was New Haven late in the game got tired.
Yeah.
That was the consensus I got. They started getting tired, they missed a lot of shots late in the game that, you know, helped Cathedral. You know, a team like Cathedral is going to step on you when you start missing shots. They're going to put the pedal to the metal. Especially in a championship game like this. So that was the consensus I got, is they got tired in that game. So I wasn't able to watch at this point because I was driving back from Indianapolis myself at this time, but I was getting a parade of messages, DMs, that was pretty much telling me everything that was going on, because I was a little upset I was missing the game. But yeah, I was told there was just, you know, they started getting tired. One for 14, I was told. At one point towards the end. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, though, Cathedral, I mean, going in, they're a heavily favorite. It's, you know, it was a David versus Goliath here, let's be honest. But I loved what it felt like, New Haven bringing back kind of that old school Harding Hawk feel, you know. A lot of people were, you know, talking about that as kind of bringing back that old school Harding Hawk feel to boys basketball. So New Haven, another team I think that we're going to be talking about for a little bit. They're young, a lot of returning guys as well. Right. So again, a team we're going to be talking about next year, where, you know, boys basketball is starting to come back. It felt like it took a little bit of a deep dive away from the talent. Like, it felt like it's been a while since we've had boys teams this talented, you know, going to state championships. So for once, it feels like moving forward that on the boys' side, we actually have some talent moving forward. And the boys are catching back up to the girls, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we've talked about it a couple of times here on the show, that it just felt like there was like that 5 to 6 year dip of teams, of deep talented teams that were able to make runs. Because you'd have, you know, you still have talent, but it just would be more individualized rather than teams. and or you'd have just one strong team that would, you know, make a run to the state finals, and where we had, what was it, six teams in the semi-state. And if we can get back to that consistently every single year, I think that would speak volumes to where Northeast Indiana boys basketball is going. So I'm super excited. Like you said, Coach Appleton, who was on the show a few weeks ago, I think he's one of the better coaches in the area. Yes. And New Haven will continue to be really good while he's there. And they have, like you said, some talent coming back. Baskerville is only a junior, so he's coming back. I think they have another couple guys who you mentioned are coming back as well. So they should be a favorite in the NEA for sure, a favorite in their sectional to go far once again. But I think this experience will help them be better next year, and it will just make them more hungry to get back there once again. So unfortunate results on boys basketball yesterday, but I think a good season for the area as a whole. As I said, we had a lot of talented teams, a lot of teams to make it far. We were had four teams in semi-state finals games, so we were going to get somebody in the state title games no matter what. And yep. Last weekend, and to see them perform at this high level on this stage, is you got to be proud of these teams, even though it wasn't a losing effort. They didn't just go down there and get blown out. They went down there and actually competed and were in both of these games for the majority of these games, and one of them came right down to the end. So super excited for boys basketball and where it's going in these next couple of years. So for you, I want to stay on the high school side as well. As we, you know, transition to looking forward to the spring season, and high school baseball gets started underway, and so does softball and track and all that. Specifically with high school baseball, and you're wearing your 260 dugout hat that you can purchase if you would like. If you want to go to oldfortbaseballco.com, I think it's cool. I don't know if it's pre-sale, I think is going on. Here either
it,
if
it will be. I don't think it's up yet, but it will be.
Not yet, but be on the lookout. If you love that hat that DC's wearing, you will have the ability to buy it, and you can also buy this one. It's also a hat by Logan Weening's company, Old Fort Baseball Co. And you and I were hanging out with Logan this past week at High School Baseball Media Day, and nothing but rave reviews for the media day, the event, from the coaches, media that were there, players that were there, me and you were there, and I thought you did a hell of a job organizing it, and I was super pumped to see all the content that came out of it from all these players and for your show, the 260 Dugout as well. So it was hats off to you, man.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it was really nerve-wracking. It was a very nerve-wracking week. Yeah. First of all, I had to deal with the timing of everything. You know, it's something I knew I wanted to do for a while. Because high school baseball in this area has never had a media day. There's always been a media day for football every year. There's a media day for basketball. High school baseball has never had a media day here. Never. They have an SAC and I think an NEA coaches meeting, but that's for coaches. And there's no, you know, it's just coaches meeting. And I think they vote on, or they're told the, basically preseason rankings for the season.
Yep.
And they vote on it. So that's it. There's never been a media day. There's never been anything to highlight the great players that play in this area. I mean, we're talking guys, you know, Kevin Kiermaier. We're talking Zach McKinstry, who's balling right now. We're talking Jared Parker, who I went up against when I played in high school. We're talking about guys that go to the Major League Baseball level. We're talking guys like Andrew Soffrank, who pitches for the Arizona Diamondbacks. None of these guys have ever had a media day or were highlighted during their time in Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
You know, and just from my perspective, you know, as media, you know, and these are the guys that made it to the professional. You know how many guys we have play minor league baseball just right now? And then if you take that into consideration, think everywhere, you know, in history, how many players we've had play minor league baseball. So my perspective was just, you know, there's obviously a bunch of different perspectives to go. But my thing is, from the media perspective, you know, we all as media, you know, try to get content, right? That's our goal, to get content. Content is king. And, you know, when we start seeing stories of guys from Fort Wayne, you know, pitching in the minor leagues, throwing a perfect game, or Graham, people like Graham Kellum, who came out of nowhere in the College World Series last year. Nobody knew who Graham Kellum was. Like, right. Who was that? You know, pitching for Murray State. Nobody knows these people. And it's like, that's why a media day is necessary. So we know these people before they go on. And that's why when I did my short speech, I told the media straight up, after thanking everybody for coming, I'm like, there's somebody in this room one day we're going to try to reach out to because they're pitching in minor leagues or they're playing in the minor leagues or they're playing in the MLB. They just got drafted or something. There's somebody in this room that we're going to be trying to contact. So gain that, you know, relationship and connection now. That way it's easier when you reach out later, like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, because so many of these guys, you know, we complain about, you know, why Kevin Kiermaier doesn't come home very often or why Jared Parker never comes home. They weren't highlighted while they were here, man. Like, we didn't really appreciate what they brought to our area baseball while they were here. It felt like they were appreciated when they're gone and went on to accomplish these things. When Jared Parker's drafted in the top 10 in the MLB draft, then we're like, oh, yeah, can I get an interview and things like that? So gain those relationships now while they're still – and not only that, you know, we have a lot of talent in this area, regardless if they're going to go play in the minor leagues or MLB or not. There's a lot of talent in this area that is already committed to play Division I baseball or play college baseball in general. So right. I just wanted to highlight these kids, man, which is a big reason I even do the podcast in general. It's mainly for the kids and the next generation and to spread my love and raise awareness to the game in the area, not only at the high school level, lower levels under that, you know, even above college and things like that. So I just wanted to get everybody together and appreciate these kids and coaches that give, I mean, these coaches dedicate a lot of time. Who do you think puts the fields together? Who do you think makes sure the fields are clean? These high school coaches have to do all that, dude. They're not only are they coaches, they're counselors, they're field maintenance workers, like they're teachers, some of them. It's like,
yeah,
there's so much that these coaches have to do as well. So I wanted to give them extra appreciation. There's, like I said, there's some coaches in there with over 500 wins in their career. I think there was one that had like 1,000 wins in their career. So like, there's so much talent in that room. I wanted to highlight, and there was 16 teams that ended up attending. A couple couldn't make it because of the time restraints. But I was still very, 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 I felt very excited about the future of high school baseball for our area. And I was just very appreciative of all the media that showed up. I know it was hard for them to make it too. They're, you know, it's basketball season. They're covering high school. They're covering, you know, college. So next year, you know, after this trial period, there's some things that I know I will do differently. I'll probably do it earlier too, because we did it. It happened to be right when the NECC is on spring break. So I couldn't have anyone from the NECC. They're on spring break. But just where the venue was at, the timing we had, that was what we had this year. So we ended up rolling with it. Next year, I know what to do differently. I'll do it earlier. More media. There's more media to invite. So the trial went really good, though. I think it was a huge success. Everybody was happy. Everybody, all the kids ate all the pizza. I didn't even get a slice of pizza. Just throwing that out there. But everybody went home very happy. I got all kind of messages from coaches, even players thanking me, players' parents writing me and thanking me for the event. So it, all in all, it was a very successful event. And at the end of the day, my goal was accomplished. I raised awareness to high school baseball. And, you know, now there's a lot of excitement, I feel like, and a lot of buzz to go out and watch some high school baseball. It's free to do. So go out and watch some high school baseball and support these kids and support these coaches that put in a lot of time as well.
Yeah, I think it was a very well-attended event by the teams that were there. Each team that came brought, you know, 2 to 3 players, and then some other coaches as well were able to show up. You mentioned the NECC. I know Garrett's coach, Jason Richards, was there. He was at one of my assistant coaches when I played. Nice. So I have a good relationship with him. So yeah, there was a lot of people able to catch up with. And like you said, the talent is there for this area is very, very high. There's a lot of players that are, like you said, are going to be playing some Division I ball. We've had a lot of players that have gone to Big Ten schools, ACC schools. Some are even getting looks by SEC schools. And that doesn't happen often, but I think it's happening more and more as the years go by, because we've had the guys that you mentioned, you know, the Josh Van Meters, who was there and spoke at the event.
Yeah.
So you did a good job of getting him to come speak at the event. And his speech to the players and coaches was very good. Yes. I have to give him compliments on that. But you mentioned the guys that maybe didn't play college ball but were drafted, like Jared Parker or Saul Frank, who, you know, played some big-time ball and made it to the pros. And some other guys that are on their way there, you know, mentioned, you know, Braden Reisdorf, who's went to IU and is working his way through the system. So it's guys that are just sprinkled throughout the area, but it feels like that there's more and more. And to the more that we can continue to cover these guys and put spotlights on them, I think will definitely help grow the sport and the awareness of it, because it was well attended and a lot of people were watching all the clips and stuff that were circulating online. So it's like, it can be as popular as basketball. It can be as popular or generate the amount of views as of maybe not close to football, but it can get up there with some of these things. And I think a lot of people were appreciative of it as well, because they've never had anything like this. And it was the first one. Like when I played high school baseball, this would have been awesome to come and do because it also helps the kids when they do get interviewed after a game or after something. It gets them, you know, some experience for some of these kids that don't get highlighted, because I remember when I was interviewed after a game and I don't even remember what I said. Cause I was just so like, why are you talking to me? I was like, great job. Team did well. Like some of those cliche lines, because I've never been interviewed before. So it's like when you get those experiences, it helps you not only, you know, in that moment, but for after future games, when you perform well or win a sectional or a conference title and somebody wants to put a camera in your face or a microphone in your face, you're more prepared for that moment rather than just being like stumbling over your words and don't really know. So it's there's a lot of things that helped, I think, with this media day and you putting it on in collaboration with, 260 Dugout and Old Fort Baseball Co. And I'm excited to see where it goes next, because I think there's, you know, ways to make it, you know, even that much bigger. You know, hats off to the World Baseball Academy as well, being able to have the space to set that up for you. But I'm excited to see where it goes next. So it was a good event, like I said. So yeah,
same here, man. I want at least 20 teams next year. So
we're gonna
have to figure that part out. But I think now that it's done, I think there's a lot of things that we can still do that work. Obviously, still make sure everybody's fed, because that was a nice touch from what I heard.
We'll
make sure that's taken care of. But I know one of the things, too, that they all appreciated was the professional photos. Part of the media day was we had a couple of stations set up for the players to get professional photos, which those will all be out this week for the players and for them to share and for the coaches to share with the players and their families. So everybody that got those photos taken, they're getting them starting tomorrow. So it was a good event, man. I was very excited, and special shout out again to all the media that showed up, because it's a media day. And if there's no media there, then what are we doing it for? So shout out to all the media that showed up. Special shout out to Glenn Marini, Ari Betterly of 21 Alive, Drew Frey from Fox 55 showed up, and this played on all three news channels that night. All three had the coverage of the media day on the TV station, on the news, 11 o'clock news. I think it was on the 10 o'clock Fox News. So shout out to Drew for getting on that. But yeah, very excited for the future of this. I think it's something we can do every year. So I'm going to stress myself out every year, early spring, and try to put on this event for high school baseball. I'm up for it.
Yeah. You could tell by the end of it, you needed a drink. Just because you're running around, but then you're also getting interviews for your show as well. So it was a line of people waiting to get interviewed by DC at the end of it. So
it was a little, you know, everything went smooth until like that last 20 minutes. Yeah. And then I'm interviewing Snyder And then I look over and I have Carol standing there, Leo standing there, and Homestead are standing there just waiting for me. Homestead, Carol, and Leo just staring at me, waiting for their chance. Yeah. And I'm like, all right. So at the end, it got a little hectic. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. So they all wanted to be interviewed by the great DC Hendrix.
So. Yeah. Plus, those are team. I mean, you know, we're talking top teams in the area, so I got to bring them on. So
yeah, for sure.
I was just trying to spread some love. You know, I felt like I'm sure they got their TV time. So I was trying to give everyone a chance to talk to some of the other teams I wasn't able to talk to. So all in all, thanks to you and thanks to everybody that showed up for the high school baseball media day. It was a blast.
Yeah. You mentioned some of those kids were going back two or three times for that pizza.
I've seen that.
There's a couple of them who were like, maybe they just came out of practice and were looking for a snack, for something to eat because they were hungry. But yeah, like I said, looking forward to what it becomes in the future as well. Looking forward to the baseball season as well. I know we'll have some guests and coaches and players come on the show as the season gets underway. I think the season starts, I think, this week officially. So I know you were out at some scrimmages and stuff like that last week. And as this, you know, these couple of weeks are always kind of funky with weather and spring break. And it's like, who wants to play this first week when there's sometimes no teams to play because they're all either on spring break? It's always a hectic time for this. But once it does get rolling in, you know, the first couple of weeks of April, it's always always fun to follow. So
MLB season underway too, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Thanks to T-Mobile. Once again, thanks to T-Mobile.
Not a free sponsor, MLB but could TV. Be.
Free MLB TV all year. That shitty phone service I get all year becomes worth it around this time of year. Give me that MLB TV subscription, baby. It's all worth it. I'll take losing my connection down the street from my house as long as I get my MLB TV subscription.
Well, they're not going to sponsor the show now if you call them shitty.
I don't want them to sponsor the. What are they going to do? Hey, well, service is already shitty. What are they going to do? Make it worse?
But you mentioned MLB underway. I've watched the first couple of Cubs games. Was not thrilled with opening day, but came back and performed a whole lot better yesterday. And I haven't
even seen what the Cubs have done.
They lost 10-4, I think, on opening day, and then won. I think they won 10-4, 10-5, something like that yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm not concerned about like the offense. The offense is that everybody up and down that lineup can hit. It's can the pitching stay healthy and be consistent? That's going to be the Cubs' downfall this year. If that pitching staff can't stay healthy or is just not being living up to their potential. Like Cade Horton was really good yesterday, but Matthew Boyd in the opener was not great. So, but if they can stay healthy, like I said, and be consistent, they should be near the top of the division by the end of the season. But I have been fascinated by the ABS system. And I've seen a lot of clips. Are you pro or against the ABS system?
I'm 100% against.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Why?
Why? At what point do we just get rid of umpires?
I don't know if we're gonna ever get rid of umpires. It looks like we are. We're trending that way for sure. Like hard, yes. But.
Losing more jobs. Okay. The economy is shit enough.
There's still jobs for these guys out on the base paths. You know, they don't need to be
in Little League.
Yeah, sure. Go back to
I guess college. Little League could always use umpires.
Always. But
at what point does this not just negate completely umpires? Like what are we?
I think the way that they're going, I'm not all the way in, but I like it because of the reactions that I've seen from the umpires that are being, like, for example, CB Buckner yesterday was called back-to-back strikes, or what he called were strikes, and they were both challenged and both called balls. And you could just tell the look on his face is like, are you serious? You're going to, for the second time specifically, like the second straight pitch, and he's just like, catch everyone seriously? Up.
Just to, you know, because there's probably this, there may be somebody watching that doesn't even know what the hell we're talking about right now.
Yeah. So the automatic ABS balls system, and strike system.
Yeah. This year, Major League Baseball, it's called Automated Ball Strike Challenge System, where basically they're robot umpires, bro.
It's
robot umpires.
I don't know. Okay. There's no specific robot out there, but they're just, it's video review of the zone. And AI. I don't even know if it's AI. It's just replay. It's just replay. And I'm just trying to figure out if it's the zone that they're using. I don't know if it's standard across the board or if it's fit to each individual player. I think that's where it's tough. And that's where I think maybe I'm not all the way in on it yet, because I don't know if it's a straight standard zone that every player gets, or if it's, you know, that's moves great. Up and
I'm
down
not in on it at so. All. At all. Live what the umpires call. Ball strike. The umpire called it. Live with it.
No, I don't think you should live with it. I think because you get the guys like Angel Hernandez who are absolutely god awful and called.
He's only god awful because he made a couple of bad calls. He made a couple of bad calls. And then we started overanalyzing them. So now we're looking for shit to complain about with them. I'm sure if we overanalyzed every umpire, every referee, we're gonna find the same thing with all of them. They all make bad calls sometimes. They're human.
Yeah.
Human. Not robots.
I think it just brings another element of strategy, when to use your challenges, because you only get a specific amount. You can't just challenge every single pitch, because I think if you lose your two challenges, and you just have to be specific with it. And it has to be, I think, an important time in the game. You're not going to be using it on the very first pitch in the first inning, but I think it just adds another level of strategy.
I think it was the Dodgers Diamondbacks. They used it in the first inning.
See, like that I think is stupid. I think you should try to save for at least the last three innings. If that was me, unless you think it's absolutely egregious and it's a couple inches off the plate, then go ahead.
It was overturned. Yeah.
So, and I'm seeing quite a few overturned. So I think the hitters and the catchers that are there, I think.
But then, like, it hurts, like, I'm telling you, bro, we're gonna end up with robot umps. It's gonna be a fucking robot out there standing behind, getting blasted by foul balls and getting blasted by, like, you picture what I'm picturing? I know you're picturing it. I know you see it. It's gonna be a fucking robot standing behind the catcher.
I just think there's gonna be nobody back there, and I think you're just gonna see it appear on the scoreboard, ball or strike.
That's worse. I'd rather a robot be back there. At least somebody's back there.
Why? I would rather.
Because, like, this is horrible, Bryce. This is horrible. We need umpires. That's part of baseball.
I know.
We need blue. Come on.
I think there's always gonna be somebody back there.
We're doing too much. We're doing too much. We're changing too much.
I think this is making the game better. I think you're getting more accuracy and a lot of these umpires are really good.
We're hurting the credibility of all these umpires that have went to school and learned and studied the game of baseball. We're hurting the credibility of them because now they're getting contradicted. How would you feel if you had a robot, you know, looking at your job every day, see what mistakes you made in correcting it.
I already have a boss that does that. Is you know,
every single thing?
Not every single thing, but everybody has a boss. Everybody has a boss that's looking to see, and it should want these umpires to be better. So that way that CB Buckner is not calling that pitch that's an inch off the plate. He's calling it He's calling it correctly. It's supposed to help make him better so that there's less challenges and that the game can go on. It's a pretty quick system. It's not like all these reviews in basketball or football that
take forever. It still takes a little bit, though.
It takes 10 seconds.
At the best case scenario.
I haven't seen one that's taken more than 15 seconds.
I haven't either.
So it's pretty quick.
It's about at most 20 seconds. But if we're trying to speed the game up, that a couple times a game. I thought we were trying to speed the game up. We're slowing it down again. What happened?
No, if it was taking longer for these reviews, then yes, I would probably be more against it. But I think with the speed of it and how quickly it is, I just think there will be some adjustments to be made. Like I said, with the zone and where it is, and how quickly can we get this? You know,
we're gonna start getting ABS chants and travel ball now with the youth, fucking little league down at Elmhurst Little League. Parents are gonna start chanting ABS during the game when an ump makes a bad call that is against their kid.
I think that's better
than ABS. ABS, ABS. What does it stop?
I think that's better than saying some expletives, Adam.
Might as well at that point. When does it stop? That's my point. My point is, when does it stop?
I don't
like it.
I'm fine with testing it out and seeing where we go. Seeing where we go from here. If it's not everybody's not in favor of it by the end of the year, then get rid of it. But if most players come around, and I've seen,
get rid of it now.
They're just testing things out, and this thing has been tested, I think, in the minors for at least 2 or 3 years now, and they've tried it out at AA, they tried it up at AAA, and now this is the first year that they're bringing it up to the majors, and I think. I'm in favor. It should have been implemented in the World Baseball Classic, because then I don't know if the United States would have won their semifinal game against the Dominican Republic.
Do not ruin America's best tournament of any
America's best
tournament. the world's best tournament in sports. Do not ruin it.
It's not the best tournament. It's not the best tournament in sports.
I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry?
You think the World Baseball Classic?
Yes.
Is the best international tournament?
Better than the World Cup. Absolutely. Yes. I know you're going to say World Cup. This is better.
I don't know about that. I think even like the Olympics basketball tournament is better than that.
What? To watch USA win every year? Every time? Every 4 years to watch USA completely destroy everyone until the last game they decide to let it be a little bit close?
They decide.
Are you kidding me?
They decide to let it be.
You like watching LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant beat up on everybody every 4 years?
Yeah, they're pretty damn good. They're fun to watch.
How is that more fun to watch than the World Baseball Classic with like five stacked teams? Instead of one stacked team and a couple countries with one or two good players. How's that comparable? Never say that again.
No, I think
Never compare Olympic basketball to the World Baseball Classic ever again.
France is good at basketball.
Not even close. Not even close.
Spain even has some good teams. Australia is usually pretty good.
Spain? This is not 2009 anymore. Pau Gasol is not on Spain. The Gasol brothers are not on Spain anymore. Ricky Rubio is not on Spain anymore, Bryce.
All right.
Don't get me started. Like I said before, I was rudely interrupted. Mm-hmm. The World Baseball Classic is the world's best sports tournament. Only argument is the World Cup. That's the only argument. I don't want to hear anything else.
I just think because it happens in such a short amount of time, and it's not happening at peak season. And like, because even like soccer teams take a break for the World Cup. Like, this is the World Cup happening in the United States this year is happening like in the middle of MLS and in England's and in the Premier League. They're all taking breaks because of it. Whereas the World Baseball Classic is, you have to fit it in before the season. It's part of spring training. You have the teams have to abide by the team rules of how many pitches you can play, how many innings a certain guy can play. So I think it was just having some of the restrictions because you don't have Paul Skeens going all out for a full seven innings. He's only able to pitch 70 pitches and he's not able to go a full game. And it probably didn't help him that he pitched in the World Baseball Classic anyways, because he got blasted out of the first inning against the Mets in opening day. So yeah, that's my argument against it.
I thought you were for me.
No,
the argument was sounding like it was with me.
No, I enjoyed it. I'm not. I just don't think it's the top. If I just think the Olympic basketball tournament is just a little bit better. So,
we'll do a poll.
Okay, we're on the poll.
Yep.
What's the world's best international tournament? We'll have for the World Cup. We'll have the Olympic basketball tournament. We'll have World Baseball Classic. You know, somebody's going to chime in and say like, oh, it's the cricket World Cup or something like that.
You might as well just add bobsledding. Cool Runnings.
Cool Running. Another reference that's at least 20 years old. You brought up Space Jam earlier. That movie is 20 years old. Did you know that? Is it sitting back there on your shelf of VHS tapes back there? Is Space Jam back there? It's got he's looking. Is Space Jam? Yeah, oh my gosh. He's gonna pull it. Holy shit. Oh my god. I can't. It's no surprise because I've known you've had this VHS collection for a long time. Yeah. And now the people on the show can finally see it. It's crazy. You gotta have at least 200 VHS tapes back there, right?
Yeah. I also have this one.
No way.
Wow. Didn't expect to do that. Didn't expect to do that today.
Oh my god. Yeah,
collection is strong back here, brother.
Oh my god.
That's the kid's side. And then I got the adult side. Like older movies.
Oh my gosh.
Cartoon Disney side. And then all the comedies and stuff. Action movies. I just happen to have those.
I did not expect you to bring out the Cool Runnings VHS. Oh man. Oh wow. We should just make this like a weekly segment. DC pulls out a random VHS tape and we talk about it. Oh, man,
I did not. And that what makes this so great. So we've always been like one of those shows that like kind of goes with the flow on things.
Yeah,
it's going to be really interesting now, especially with like the random stuff that we can have like at home, like that. Just my random Space Jam reference. Cool Runnings. Good stuff, man.
Man, that's crazy. I did not expect you to pull that out. That was great. We need to take. We'll clip that and put it on social because that's.
Sounds good.
Woo! That caught me off guard.
Are we doing a prize between us two in the bracket challenge?
We can. I think we kind of said something like whoever finishes, because right now you and I are tied.
Yeah,
technically, or we each have 700 points. We have different champions. I have Michigan. You have Duke. So the max
makes it interesting.
Well, you have more max points. You can get up to 1,500, and I can only get up to 1,260. I'm trying to think of because you also had Illinois in your tournament. You also had Arizona. So if Duke wins today, I think you could beat me no matter what.
I did. I picked Arizona over Purdue.
Yeah, so did I. I did as well. And then you also have Michigan. So if Duke, all you need is Duke, because I didn't have Duke making it to the Final Four.
Yeah.
So if you win, if Duke wins today, then you will beat me in the challenge. And
yeah,
we'll figure something out.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll
figure something out if you beat me in the standings.
Let's go.
So, yeah, we'll make something happen. Man, I still can't get over Cool Runnings VHS tape, man. That just all right. We need to end the show there before we
let's do it.
About something else. Because I wanted to talk about something else, but I think it's a good point to end the show with. Because I wanted to talk about things that make us older than we are. Because I are things that we're out on. Like I'm getting to the point where I'm just like, do I need this in my life anymore? I don't. I'm starting to be out on certain things, you know.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, and it's just like I don't. Yeah, that's for somebody else. That's for the next generation to be out on. Like I'm starting to be like, man, I'm starting to be that old guy. Where like, man, do I want to jump on this AI bandwagon, or I'm just like, I just want to be more analog. Like, you know what, just bring me back to VHS tapes. Bring me back to DVDs, and let's get back to more physical things rather than just having everything be digital, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really smart of me to talk about it, you know, on a digital platform, but yeah. I just long for the days sometimes of like, you know what, it'd be nice to just have like flip open a newspaper and just read it right here, and it's we're losing recipes, you know what I mean? You know, we're losing that sense of
one thing for me. Like, I just got done talking about this yesterday. I'm not going to call this person out by name, but like, there's somebody I know that was a friend of my brother's who's older brother. So they went to school together. They're like 40 years old, and they still go out like clubbing every weekend. It's like,
man, I'm out. That's not for me.
Like that's the first thing I'm thinking of when you say that, like things that I'm out on at this age. That is one for me, because there's so many different layers to that. Like, you're 40 years old.
Yeah.
Everybody you're at the club with and partying with is likely 21.
That. And does this person have kids as well? Because I'm thinking of the next morning. You know,
if I'm
out until 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I know my wake up call is going to be not what I want it to be. It's going to be pretty damn early.
Yeah, the person does have kids too, so yeah.
Ooh,
they're older, but
well,
still,
yeah,
still have responsibilities.
You still gotta get them up and
it's like every weekend. That's the first thing I think of when you say things I'm out on. I'm thinking that I'm definitely done with the clubbing.
Yeah,
almost done with drinking overall. Honestly,
whoa, like,
yeah.
You know what? I'm not too far behind you, honestly. Yeah. I'm more of a social drinker now. Yeah,
we're getting older, brother. We're getting older,
and it's just like, I'll have a, you know, I'll go out to dinner and have a drink or two, but then like other than that, like I don't need to have multiple. I don't need
give me a Sprite, give me water. We're getting older, man. Like those are things that I'm thinking of. You took it to like AI and stuff.
Well, like that's just like. It's, you know, all these things are like encompassing, like things I think about often. It's like, do I really need this? Like, because when I see these commercials for ChatGPT, like during the tournament, it's like all these commercials are like, you could just Google this stuff, you know, like how to fix a car, how to make a nice meal for your significant other. You can just Google that.
What I don't like with ChatGPT is when people use them for like graphics or logos.
Yeah,
I don't like it then, because to me that the best part about graphics is the art behind it. There's always like the art, you know, like graphic designers put in, you know, they put in time and deep thought into making graphics and logos.
Mm-hmm.
Where ChatGPT just throws something together, and something about it is going to be jacked up, and it's going to look plain.
Yeah, it's going to look similar.
You can tell by looking at a logo to see. You can tell if it's ChatGPT. You look at a graphic, you can tell it's ChatGPT because they all look the fucking same.
They all look the same. If you go on to Facebook right now,
the exact same.
They all look the same. You can tell they're all the same format. They're all some smiling, happy face with all this text that looks very similar to whatever Facebook ad you've seen on Facebook, and then you scroll and you see another one that looks very similar. You could tell what the prompt was when you typed it in. You could tell what it was. It can make one right now.
I like that. We'll save that for next week too. We can dig in a little deeper next week.
Yeah, man. Whew. All right. Well, let's call it a day there. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the show. Follow us everywhere at Bryson DC on X, Facebook, Instagram, and subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. Thank you to Get Indiana for allowing us to be on their podcast network as well. You can get a getindiana.com to subscribe to their newsletter and find our show there weekly. For DC Hendricks, I'm Bryce Vance. This has been the Sideline Sports Show, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and love.